Dear friends in Christ, the blessings and peace of God be with you this Easter Sunday. As many of us and multitudes across the world have been shut in while waiting out the passing of the coronavirus, may we have more affinity with the anxious drudgery that Jesus' followers endured as their lives were also on pause until the Sabbath, which began at dusk on the Friday of Jesus' death, came to an end with the first light of dawn on Easter Sunday. The very first Easter morning must have felt rather nondescript as the busy activities of the Passover were done and the Sabbath had also passed. All is quiet as the darkness of the night gives way to the gray light of dawn. With the first hint of light, Mary Magdalene and the other women followers of Jesus know the Sabbath is officially over. Their anxious and sleepless night has ended, and they are eager to complete the Jewish burial rites for their beloved Rabbi Jesus. Laden with about 90 pounds of spices and other materials, the women make their way to the tomb, some distance outside the city walls of Jerusalem. It is a sorrowful and heavy burden these women feel as they trudge through the streets, out the city gate, and down the pathways to the tomb. Likely little is spoken, for what is there to say when hearts are filled with empty sorrow? Yet, rounding the pathway, they are astonished as they notice the stone is rolled away. Disbelief and anguish pierces their hearts as they enter and see that the body of their Lord is gone. Still more wonder fills the moment as angelic beings ask in Luke's account, "Why are you looking among the dead for one who is alive? He's not here. He has been raised. Remember what he said to you while he was in Galilee. The Son of Man must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and 3 days later rise to life." By evening, hints of Jesus' resurrection were shared with many of his followers, even as Luke's account tells us that suddenly the Lord himself stands among his disciples and says to them, "Peace be with you." He then asks, "Why are you alarmed? Why are these doubts coming up in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet and see that it is I myself. Feel me and you will know. For a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And even as they still wonder, Jesus says, "These are the very things I have told you about while I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses, the writings of the prophets, and the Psalms had to come true." Yes, this Easter morning, we know that Christ has risen. As Simon proclaims to the apostles after running back to Jerusalem from Emmaus, "The Lord is risen indeed." And this Easter Sunday, as we complete our exploration of the seven last words of Jesus, we find ourselves back at the cross as we look at Jesus' final word from Luke chapter 23, verse 45. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he said this, he breathed his last. May we pray. Merciful God, we offer you praise and adoration as we celebrate Christ's fulfillment of prophecy as he lived among us, showed us your will, died on the cross as the final sacrifice for sin, and then arose from the tomb, that we may know life eternal. It is in his name that we give you thanks. Amen. Throughout the previous six messages, we have been inspired by the intimate connection our Lord experiences with his Father and our God. We have also been humbled by the way our Lord Jesus spoke from the Old Testament scriptures and ultimately fulfilled the ancient prophecies of God's plan for our salvation. To review the prophecies fulfilled, We remember that Psalm 22, verses 7 and 8 was fulfilled when the crowd mocked Jesus and hurled insults at him, as described in Matthew chapter 27, verses 41 through 44. We remember that Psalm 22, verses 17 and 18 was achieved as his garments were divided among the soldiers and they cast lots for Jesus' seamless robe, as described in John chapter 19, verse 23. We recall that Jesus spoke with the exact words of Psalm 22, verse 1, when he cried out in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, "My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?" We note that Jesus was likely thinking of Psalm 22, verse 15, when he declared in John 19, verse 28, "I am thirsty." We also remember that Psalm 69, verse 21 was fulfilled as John 19, verse 29 describes how the soldier gave Jesus a drink of cheap wine with the aid of a sponge extended on a sprig of hyssop. And today, for Jesus' final word from the cross, we see that for a second time, Jesus quotes directly from the Old Testament Psalms. For Luke chapter 23, verse 5 tells us that Jesus' last words, while he exists in his human form, are directly from Psalm 31, verse 5. "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." Like a dancer following the precise vision of the professional choreographer, or an astronaut following the guidance of mission control, or a protege mimicking the hand of the master, all throughout Jesus' ministry, and especially here at the cross, Jesus knew that if he fulfilled God's precise plan, salvation for humanity would be accomplished. Prophecies were checked off like mile markers that affirmed the correct journey, and Jesus' direct quotes from Scripture revealed how he was totally immersed in his spiritual fellowship with his Jewish faith and plugged into a deeply intimate and spiritual relationship with God. Just as a mother persists through the anguishing pain of childbirth, believing with certainty that she and her family will be blessed with a precious child, Jesus knew that bearing the journey of his sacrifice would fulfill God's plan for our salvation. And even as our nation, and indeed the world, is facing what appears to be unforeseen chaotic times during this silent and deadly blitzkrieg, we as believers in Christ must be reassured that our loving God is still in charge of his master plan for his children. And as Jesus calls out in a loud voice the words of Psalm 31, verse 5, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit," you and I realize that there is far more here than Jesus simply fulfilling prophecy or quoting an Old Testament text. These words express a remarkably intimate expression of absolute personal surrender of Jesus to his loving Father, the one whom he knows he can trust. And for this Easter Sunday, possibly this is the most significant lesson that we can experience from these final earthly words of our Lord. We've seen people fall backward from a stage into the waiting arms of a cheering crowd below. We've wondered if we could trust the crowd to properly catch us, for injury could be significant, if not paralyzing or fatal. We've been amazed by the inherent trust that infants offer of themselves into the loving arms of those who care for them. I was always in awe by the way our son, in his infancy, could fall asleep in his car seat and be carted to a myriad of places, and yet not be disturbed when he woke up in an entirely different environment. By contrast, waking up in a strange hotel room is often disturbing for adults when they first open their eyes, for it can sometimes take a few seconds to remember the journey that got them there in the first place. As adults, we often find trust unfailingly difficult. Yet, absolute personal surrender and trust is something our Lord does, not only at the time of his earthly death. Absolute surrender is what our Lord committed himself to even at the very beginning and throughout all of his earthly journey. As we have said before in this series, Jesus knows with certainty, as he says in John chapter 6, verse 38, I have come down from heaven to do not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And as Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, it is by the death of Christ that we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of God which he gave to us in such large measure. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, this plan, which God will complete when the time is right, is to bring all creation together, everything in heaven and on earth, with Christ as head. What makes the journey difficult for many of us, and is actually accentuated during this time of the coronavirus, is that we have difficulty with waiting out the plan. Whether it's the plan of skilled medical experts, government officials, or even God's plan, the majority of us who are not of the skilled medical professions and are not trained in those jobs deemed essential are simply being asked to surrender to what appears like a state of perpetual idle, and we want to rev up our engines and go. We don't do idle well. We don't wait easily. We find it extremely difficult to surrender our need to do something, for it goes against the grain of so much of what we've been taught, to pull ourselves up from our own bootstraps, to make a mark, like the creators of the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, to make a name for ourselves. Yet, this Easter Sunday, and through the weeks to come, our Lord's example has much to teach us. Jesus knew that it was only if he would surrender to God's great plan that humanity would be saved. And with his last breath on the cross, he looked up into the heavens, directed all his attention solely to our loving Father, and before he breathed his last, he declared, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Jesus surrendered his earthly existence and fell into the hands of our loving Father. Before you and I breathe our last earthly breath, hopefully we too will direct all our attention solely to our loving Father and declare, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. For it is only by falling into the everlasting hands of God through our absolute personal surrender that we too will be saved. And as a closing scripture to remember this Easter Sunday, I share with you what is actually the closing prayer in the book of Hebrews, as Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21 tell us, God has raised from death our Lord Jesus, who is the great shepherd of the sheep, as a result of his sacrificial death, by which the eternal covenant is sealed. May the God of peace provide you with every good thing you need in order to do his will. And may he, through Jesus Christ, do in us what pleases him. And to Christ be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This first week of Eastertide, we continue to pray for the many who have lost loved ones and those affected by illness. We pray for the medical teams, the first responders, the civic leaders on the front lines of this pandemic, while we are also mindful of the needs of the millions dealing with furloughs, and for so many, the complete loss of employment. Blessing to all of you as we continue to keep in touch with every means available, and as we support one another in creative ways. please call the office at 816-436-0462 if you need assistance. And remember that Katie Turner, through her phone number 402-202-3229, is willing to organize those able to make grocery and pharmacy runs for our homebound. Please remember that appointments for the food pantry are available on Tuesdays and Thursdays, as we've seen several new families in recent weeks. Your tithes and offerings received through the mail have blessed us as we strive to maintain the salaries, utilities, and other obligations of our fellowship, while we all patiently wait for the day when we will rejoice in the privilege to assemble once again in the Lord's house. Until we share God's words next Sunday, I wish you the very best, as the blessings of peace of God will be with you now and always.